Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship. Everybody from this area and for those from other areas like in Asia. So we're going to open with the reading of the word. Those of you who are able, please stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to go to Isaiah 25, reading from the ESV. Early in the pandemic, the Lord, one of the passages he really underscored to me was Isaiah 24 through 27. Those four chapters are considered eschatological passages in 1st Isaiah. So this is powerful stuff when we're looking at how God works out his purposes in human history, which is what eschatology is. So we're going to read Isaiah 25 and go before the Lord for worship. Verse 1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Future is always based on the past. There's this whole passage is talking about what's the future, what's going to happen in Israel, what's going to happen in human history, but everything's based on God's faithful and sure plans. And he really formed them a long time ago when we talk about old, before the foundation of the world. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. Yet you subdue the noise of the foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down. And again, God's eschatological purposes, how he works out his purposes in human history, always contrast the powerful with the weak. God is on the side of the weak. This is not an hour where we need to be powerful. This is an hour in which we need to come into solidarity with the weak, those who are being affected the most by things that are going on in our world. And in this context, powerful, powerful imagery, powerful prophecy. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. The Lord is going to have a celebration, a banquet in the midst of turmoil. He invites all people at this point. Not the powerful are being excluded or the poor are being included alone, but everybody. The Lord brings them all together for this feast that he's going to bring forth in our midst. And then it says, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. Lord of the Harvest, for the last 2 years, our prayer has been, remove the veil, Lord. Remove the veil from our eyes. Remove the veil from the eyes of the powerful. Remove the veil from the eyes of the poor. Remove the veils from the eyes of those who are so certain that they understand everything that's going on. Remove the veil from the confused. Remove the veil from the struggling. Remove the veil.
Yes, Lord.
Swallow up on this mountain, his mountain, the place where God descends in his presence. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples and the veil that is spread over all nations. This is our prayer today for the earth. There is a veil over this entire earth. There is a veil over nations, over peoples. And here's the veil. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people, he will take away from all the earth. It's a veil of death. It's a veil of death that creates fear, that causes people to move in and out of fear instead of celebration. But the celebration is limited to celebrating him and the banquet that he has planned in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the ruthlessness, in the midst of the hostility. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God, the day when the Lord does this. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, his deliverance. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, and Moab shall be trampled down in his place, as straw is trampled down in a dunghill. He still goes back to those ruthless, hostile nations that seek to do his people harm. And he will spread out his hands in the midst of it as a swimmer spreads his hands out to swim. The Lord swims through the nations like a swimmer. And, you know, the person who's swimming is defying the waters, defying the gravity that would seek to pull one down. The Lord looks at the nations and what the nations are trying to accomplish to hinder his purposes from being manifested in human history. The Lord's swimming through them, and he's defying them. And he's afloat, and the waters are dispersed.
Thank you, Lord.
But the Lord will lay low Moab's pompous pride together with the skill of his hands. And how he resists the powers that are hostile to his kingdom. He resists those powers by bringing their pompous pride, their arrogance down. This is not an hour for arrogance of anybody toward anyone else, particularly those in the body of Christ. We're going to be arrogant to those who don't vote the way we are. No, not a time to be arrogant. Not a time at all to be arrogant. Arrogance signals opposition to the Lord's purposes, which is humbly rejoicing in his presence. And the high fortifications of his walls, Moab again, he, the Lord, will bring down, lay low, and cast to the ground to the dust. Lord, in this hour, remove the veil that is upon the nations that cause them not to see you, that cause them to embrace the spirit of death, Lord, that cause them to not see that you are preparing a table for your people in the midst of their enemies, and it's a time of celebration and rejoicing in you, in your Son, in your kingdom purposes in the earth, Lord. Remove the veil of death, Lord. Remove the covering that is cast over all peoples, a covering that blinds our eyes from seeing Jesus high and lifted up. In this hour we pray it, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Or afternoon, or no, it's still morning. Yeah. Okay, so maybe you noticed that there's something hanging up on the wall over there, and you're thinking, what the heck is that doing in church? What is that all about? And that's something that I made probably sometime between maybe 2002 and 2008, and it's been in storage for a long time, so it hangs a little bit wonky, but it, at least it's not falling apart, so that's good. And a while back, I talked to Pastor about, you know, having something that I thought was relevant for right now that I would like to put up. And so he suggested maybe I could do an explanation because, you know, not everybody looks at art the same way. And it's different. Not everything is a painting or a drawing. Not everything is beautiful in a conventional way, and art is something different than the kind of communication we mostly do, which is use words. And sometimes you can convey things in images in a deeper way or a broader way than you can in words. And the way that this piece originated was one of my uncles worked in a factory, and he came over. My parents were still alive, I believe. He came over one day, and he had a huge bag full of old work gloves, and he said, "Here, you guys can probably use these. They have a cleaning service, and they send all these things out, but after a while, they get ripped up and holes in them and stained and stuff, and they don't use them anymore, so they're just going to throw them out, but they're still usable." And I saw those, and I thought, give me more. So I asked him for more. That's why my house is so junky and there's so much stuff in it, because, you know, I see different things than maybe somebody else might see. And I thought, that is such an image of solidarity, you know. And I did a couple different pieces put together in different ways to express something. And if you notice with the piece on the wall, it's all joined together with the thumbs, and there's a red ribbon around them. And so, you know, and I look at things through my eyes of faith. I don't know how else to put it right now, but so I look at it that way. And even if I wasn't a believer, you know, red, you know, you can think of blood, and the gloves themselves are worn. No, we don't know who wore them. Probably a lot of different people wore them at different times. And they express toil, and they express hardship, maybe suffering. And I came up with the word solidarity because I thought of how there are certain things at certain levels where we all can understand and connect. And let me find my notes here. This is not going to be a really long thing, but I have a couple things here. I sent myself a text with my notes. I do things in a weird way. Okay, so I was thinking of different ways that we connect with each other. And solidarity is a thing where, you know, you have a similar idea, you have a similar feeling, there's a connection between people, you have a common goal or a common mission, working towards the same goal. And even, not even just on that level, but we have solidarity as a species. God created us as a species all to have similar desires and needs and wants and abilities to take care of things and be part of things. My phone keeps going back. In suffering, we have solidarity. Everybody suffers. Everybody does at some point, some in a different way than others. In responsibility, we all have solidarity and responsibility. Every single one of us has responsibility. In belief, as Christians, we have solidarity. In hope, faith, and love, we have solidarity. I wrote, endeavoring to find the Holy Trinity, the way which God requires godly communication with each other. So we have solidarity in many different things, many different ways that that link us together. We have to communicate. And that's the reason that I put that together. I did several pieces. And this was when I went back to school. And it was to At the time, mostly I did painting, but I started doing more sculptural things and more three-dimensional things at the time. And I found that really satisfying because you could express things in a different way, three-dimensionally, than just in a drawing or painting. It's not necessarily so illustrative. And different people in general in art come to different images and they look at it and they get different things out of it based on what their own background and experience is. And we have solidarity with Jesus. Jesus suffered and died on the cross. And he knows and he relates to and empathizes with everything that we go through. Everything. Because he came as a man. And he empathizes with our good and with our bad. He descended into hell even for us. I'm just going to pray right now. Lord, we're coming together right now to celebrate your death and resurrection on the cross, to remember you, Lord God. And Lord, when we come together, we examine ourselves, Lord God. And right now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine ourselves and look at where the areas are that we don't feel that we have, you know, solidarity and unity are kind of the same thing. And you don't have justice without unity. You don't have justice without solidarity. And so, Lord, let us examine ourselves and see where we haven't done that, Lord, where we as individuals maybe and as a church have not stepped into that kind of unity that links us together by our thumbs, Lord God, by the things that make us human, that give us the ability to do things that animals can't do, Lord, that gives us the ability to be specific and particular and be deliberate and pray. Lord, I ask right now that you would touch those people that, and I pray that you all forgive me even for this, but if you're not on the church prayer meeting on Thursday nights online, examine yourself, because that is such a place of unity, such a place of solidarity where we not only connect with you, Lord, but we connect with one another, Lord. And so I pray that you would fill that meeting, Lord God. Lord, fill it with your church, Lord. We need to know each other better. We need to support each other better. We need to love you better and to know who you are better, Lord. We need to know how much we can trust you and love you and ask of you and receive from you. And all those things happen when we pray together. And Lord, when we take your body and your blood, Lord, it's the same thing, Lord God. We become one common flesh with one blood flowing through us, Lord God. So as we do this right now, I pray that you will help us, Lord God, to find those places. It's like when you go in for a heart surgery and they look for blockages, Lord God. You go in right now and find those blockages for us, Lord God, so that when we partake in an open way to you, Lord God. That we partake not hearing the words of me, but hearing the words of you, Lord. That you're the one that connects with our heart and spirit right now. I just pray that you would do that, Lord God. I pray that you would show us something without words, Lord God. Give us a picture, Lord, of where we're not linked together in the body of Christ. And for whatever reason, Lord, because we don't want to help, or Lord, because we don't want help. And it goes both ways. So, Lord, I pray for your grace right now, for your mercy, Lord, for your healing, for your deliverance, Lord God, for your kindness, for your gentleness, Lord God. I pray for all of those things right now, Lord, as we take your body, Lord. Let us all become one flesh right now in Jesus' name. So let's take the Lord's body. And as we partake of this cup, Lord God, which shows us your blood poured out for us, Lord God, as we partake of this cup, Lord, I pray that you will remove the blockages, Lord God, so that that blood flows freely throughout the congregation, Lord God, throughout your people, Lord God. Let it flow freely through every vessel, Lord God, every vessel, Lord. And I mean that in several ways, Lord. Let it flow freely, Lord God. And I pray that you would even let it, Lord, I even add Kathy to this today as she speaks, Lord God. She's from another part of the world, Lord God, and yet it should flow through her veins the way it flows through ours because we're one flesh and one vascular system of Jesus' blood. And I just ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. Everybody wants to come back in. I always hate to break up the fellowship time, you know. But we have a special guest today, and it's my honor to introduce Kathy. Kathy Coy has been, she heard the call of God like 30 years ago to go plant a church in Japan. And she's been in Japan for 30 years. 1999, there was a group of us that went on a mission trip to Russia. And we met a woman from Japan and fell in love because she has the love of Jesus, always so graceful and really just been a true friend and a true worshiper. She's a worship leader at her church. She's one of the leaders, and she leads Bible studies. She's a speaker, and whenever she's in the States, she comes through Michigan, and we are so blessed to have you. So please welcome Kathy Coy.
Boy, she said I was graceful. I was hoping I wasn't going to trip on the way up. That would be great. Good job. Well, it's so great to be with you guys. It's just blessed. I'm just so touched by the presence of God in this place, and so touched by the unity and the solidarity of the body, right? It doesn't matter where you live or where you are. It's by the Spirit of God we're unified, right? And we're one in the body of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. And it's just, wow, it's so good to be with the body today. So thank you. Thank you for always being sweet and welcoming me. Well, does anybody here who... Is there anyone here who doesn't know me more than that? Never seen me? Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I've been in Japan. This year is my 30 years in Japan. And I'm helping a church, and I teach English and things like that. But just like Louise said, just following what the Lord has for me, which everyone in the room is doing. Following what the Lord has for you. And that's the best way to live. Right? It's the best way to live. During worship, we were singing that song, "It's Your Breath in Our Lungs, that we pour out our praise to you only." And is there anybody here that has emphysema? Is anyone here that has emphysema or existing lung problems from... we just release healing of the Lord right now. We release the healing of the Lord, that emphysema goes in the name of Jesus, that today the breath of the Lord in the lungs will bring healing right now in the name of Jesus. We just declare that right now in the name of Jesus. Any existing issues of COVID with lung problems, we release the healing of the Lord, that the breath of the Lord released today in this place for those online. It doesn't matter that you're online. We release the healing of the Lord. The Lord can touch you right now in your home. We release the healing of the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Woo. God is good. He's awesome. All right. So, I just love it. I love the Lord and I love you guys. Just love that we can be together today. I've been sharing in my church. I was asked by my pastor to speak out of Psalms. So before I left Japan, I felt like I should bring this message here. And then I tweaked it a little bit as I've been here. So we're going to look at Psalm 27 today. So you can open up there. Psalm 27. Okay, and often I'm asked, okay, Kathy, what's the title of your message? Because they like to post, like, for the leaders, what's happening, the service order. And I never have. I just say, like, Psalm 5, Psalms 27, you know. But this one has a title. It says, A Psalm of Fearless Trust in God. A Psalm of Fearless Trust in God. And David had that fearless trust in God. Fear is not your friend. Fear is not your friend. We're given the chance. When given the chance, fear will come in and take over. And even it's just a little, that sense of a little fear. And then if you open the door, fear is not a good house guest. Fear barges in and takes over. So fear is not your friend. He will come in and make himself at home. So you have to stop fear. Fear is empowered by permission. When we yield to that fear, even just a little bit, when we yield to that fear, fear just like barges in. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Right? So we have to check fear at the door of our hearts, not to welcome fear, not to give it permission. You know, sometimes people will say things, you know, oh, if you go here or go there, you're going to have this problem or that problem. And I can choose to yield to that fear from the other person. Or I can choose, no, God said go there, so I'm going there. And that's it. And fear is checked at the door and stopped. So don't yield to fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, right? 2 Timothy 1:7. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And that's one of my verses that the Lord long ago gave to me because I had struggled with fear. So the Lord gives you a great verse to hold on to for your lifetime. That's not what we've been given. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So what did David do? I mean, just looking at the Psalms, you know, you see him. He's often running from Saul, and he's having problems with the people around him who are not such good people, but they're still hanging out with him, you know. So let's see what we can see here in Psalm 27. In verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? What can you say about the Lord? Here, David declares, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. He makes this declaration of who the Lord is for him, right? So what can you say about the Lord? What has the Lord been for you? To David, he was light, salvation, refuge, stronghold. Can you look back in your life or maybe even now say, the Lord is my, thank you, hope. Father. Everything. All right, let's take a moment with the person next to you. I want you to make that declaration. Who is the Lord to you? Who is the Lord to you? Verse 3, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. In spite of this, I shall be confident. In spite of everything, I shall be confident. In spite of this, I shall be confident. The source of David's confidence and stability was not his own strength, but God's. And then in Job 4:6, it says, is not your fear of God your confidence? I love that verse. Is not your fear of God, your reverence and awe of God, your confidence? You're tucked into the fear, the awesomeness, reverentially under God, under the shadow of his wings, under his wings. Is not the fear of God your confidence? Well, Hudson Taylor, most of you familiar with Hudson Taylor? He was an awesome missionary to China, and he had a lot of struggles. But he once wrote, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God or whether it presses you nearer his heart. Wow, right? Wow. So let whatever is pressing you press you nearer to his heart. Life is hard, and we all have things that we're coming up against, whether it's work or home or health issues or things, just so much in these days, right? But God is on the throne. And he uses everything for good. And we let that pressure just push us nearer to the heart of God. I'm a bodyboarder. In Japan, I bodyboard. It's like surfing. You lay down on the board, you use fins, and you ride waves. I love it. I love the big waves. That's just totally fun. You know, about this big. That's pretty good. Yeah. it's pretty scary sometimes, right? But that wave pushes me, propels me forward, right? It's pushing me, and I'm riding it. So let the pressures of the life or the things that you're encountering push you and nearer to God's heart. Yeah. Amen. All right. Verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. I love the Amplified Classic Version. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. Ah, the Lord is so good, isn't he? He's so awesome, and it is being in his presence that is everything. Not necessarily sitting for hours like that, but it's good. But wherever you go, walking with him in his presence, walking with him to work, walking with him to the store, walking with him in his presence. He's always with us, right? Wherever we are, he is. But there's that manifested presence of the Lord we want. more and more, and that we would be more and more conscious of his presence wherever we go, so that wherever we go, we are alert. What are you looking at, Lord? How do you see this person? Is there someone you want me to say something to? Is it a smile? Is it a hello? I was practicing this on my way out of Japan. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to get on this plane. So I'm just going to believe you to order whoever I sit next to. And so I was sitting next to a girl who was from Vietnam. And she was just a great seatmate to have. And we had a really good time talking. And then later on in the flight, which is like 12 hours flight, so we had a long time to be together. Yeah, of course we shared our life, you know, what do you do and what do you do, et cetera. I just felt the Lord say, okay, just ask her how you can pray for her. So I said, May, her name was May. I said, May, how can I pray for you? And she goes, oh, you make me want to cry. And she was just touched by the kindness of God, right? She didn't know Jesus yet, but she doesn't know Jesus yet. But she had friends who knew Jesus and that were ministering to her, right? So I was just one more cog in the the machine, one more person in her life of seeing her come to know the Lord. So it's that, just that sense, recognizing the presence of the Lord wherever you go. And it could be a smile, it could be a wave, it could be a praying for somebody's healing on the street. I mean, multiple ways. God is awesome. He's creative. You know, he has ways, and we just want to see where he's seeing and do what he's doing. Doesn't your heart burn to do that these days? More and more, like just throw off all the extra bits and just get down to business of seeing what he's doing and doing it. I was just telling Louise last night, you know, I want to be like Jesus when he went to the Father and spent time with the Father. And he said, you know, I only do what my Father's doing. I only say what my Father's saying. And I want to be like that. And I know you all do too. Yeah. Our intimacy will be our strength. Our knowledge of God will be our portion. This was a quote by Julie Meyer, a worship leader. Our intimacy will be our strength. Verse 4 is the key. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I may dwell in his presence. It is the key to our experience and our life. It's the cream in the middle of the cookie, so to speak. I love Oreos, but anyway. The very presence of God, our greatest need, is his presence. Israel camped around the presence of God. His presence should be what we're camping around. More and more, we want to see him, to know him, to walk with him closer. Verses 5 and 6. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. There is still trouble and there are still enemies in David's life and our life, but we are drawing ever closer in our relationship with the Lord. We are taken higher to see from his view. And he will show us how to handle these things in our lives. And we will sing, yes, we will sing the praises of the Lord. That's key in these days, declaring our praise, worshiping him, praising him, finding just the the song of the Lord? What is the Spirit singing in you? I find often I'll be singing a song, and it's like, wow, that's an oldie. And I hadn't listened to that in years and years and years and years, but all of a sudden I'm singing a song. And sometimes I have to say, okay, oh, maybe the Lord's telling me something, right? He's speaking to me through that song. He's reminding me of something, right? And so this morning I had a song that's a total oldie, and some of the aged saints, well-aged, we'll know this song. Here it goes. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Let's do it again. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. He satisfies. He satisfies. He satisfies my desire. Great is the measure of our Father's love. So I was sitting there and I was thinking, it was like a waterfall. It's like a waterfall of his love. As I began to sing that, think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought you through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. He satisfies. He satisfies. He satisfies our desire. Great is the measure of our Father's love. And that is that worship, that simple worship song that stirs our heart, that reminds us of the greatness of our God and of his love. Living in the fellowship with the Lord should cause spontaneous melodies to burst forth throughout the day and night. As we're walking with him, the simple choruses, the simple lines. I like that song that we were doing, All Hail King Jesus. Yeah, just that chorus, you know. Simple, All Hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. Very simple, just that offering back to him during the day and during the night. Reminds you of his greatness, his awesomeness, and his love for us. In verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. And another, I think it's the Amplified Translation. You have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. Wow. Inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. More than anything, the presence of the Lord, his presence is our vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek and inquire for and require of necessity and on the authority of your word. Are you seeking his face? Are you seeking his presence? Is his presence your vital need? Verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. David struggled. I can't tell you much about this because I haven't studied it out about David's father and mother. I have studied some things because I've wondered, why did David say that? You know, and there's some, the oral Torah has some really interesting things that they talk about David's father and mother and what they thought happened and why he wrote that. But he struggled. He had hard times. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And I don't know, is anyone familiar here with Joseph Garlington, worship leader? Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. He said, there are a lot of great buts in the Bible. I don't know. It's funny. Okay. It's okay to laugh. It's okay. There are a lot of great buts in the Bible. And it stuck with me. It was so funny. But I looked that up. I looked some of these, but God. And I came across a lot. We don't need to look them all up or anything like that. We might look up a few, but I'm just going to go through them. I'll tell you where they are if you're taking notes, and you can always look up online, but God Bible verses, and a whole bunch will come out. All right, here we go. This lady of a website I was looking at says, but God says God, not our circumstances, always gets the last word. Amen. But God says God, not our circumstances, always gets the last word. God always has the last say. Okay, Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah. Genesis 31:42. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands. Genesis 48:21. Then Israel, Jacob, said to Joseph, behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you. Genesis 50:20. This was Joseph saying, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Of the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, you were the smallest nation on earth, but the Lord loved you. Saul, 1 Samuel 23:14, Saul was chasing after, searching for David, but God did not give David into his hands. 2 Chronicles 20:15, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I love that one. Psalm 86:15, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Jonah, chapter 2, verse 6. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. Amen. How many have said, yes, the Lord has brought my life? Psalm 40, right? He's brought me out of the miry clay. He's set my feet upon a rock. Amen. We can all say that. But the Lord. Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Acts 3:15, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Don't you love it? There are a lot of great buts in the Bible. Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Amen. All right. Amen. Lots of great buts, but God. I hope you remember that. There are a lot of great buts in the Bible. Because you'll laugh and then you'll look them up, right? And then you'll come across them. Yes, there are a lot of great buts. There we go. And you'll remember, right? Okay. In verses, back to chapter 27, Psalm 27. I can't see, but, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. The circumstances around David hadn't changed yet, but David believed he would see the goodness of God while he was living. And you can, and I would encourage you to declare it, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The Lord's been teaching me about declarations and how important it is to make declarations. You may not be 100% on board with your declaration, whatever he's given you to declare. Maybe it's a Bible verse, or maybe it's a prophecy that you were given, and maybe one part of it. I had like a list of 10 things that I've been practicing declaring, you know, and I haven't seen all of them, you know, come to pass, but I'm still practicing. Okay, Lord, I'm just doing what you told me to do. I'm declaring. Micah 3:8, you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, you are powerful. You're filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and courage. I had never read that verse before, or never came to mind, and I was like, wow. In fact, I heard the verse, and then I had to look at, I heard Micah 3:8. And then I looked it up, and I was like, what? Wow, that's cool. So I started making that declaration, and then somebody else was preaching, and they mentioned that verse. I thought, oh, I heard that verse before. So we're making that declaration. Even though we haven't seen, our circumstances may have not changed, but we're declaring. Some other things that I do, and you may, I don't know if you may find this strange or not, but I'm very sensitive to numbers, and number 5, I don't know why, but it's always been a favorite number. Now, I'm not into anything weird, I promise you, but number 5 was my school uniform for sports. You know, I love the number 5. I don't know why. And I totally forgot about it. And one day I was looking at a Jewish website. You know that the letters, Jewish letters, all have numbers. They're related to numbers. And number 5 is a letter, and it's it's pronounced hey. And I just cracked up because every time I say to somebody, like write a text, or I say, hey, hey. And it's like, what, you're kidding me, hey? It's just too funny. But I see numbers like on license plates. So I began attaching scriptures to them. And one of them is 222. And I started seeing numbers on license plates. That's probably where it all started. Like I kept seeing 123, 123 on different places, on a clock or on the side of a truck that's a moving company. 123, 123. Okay, Lord, I keep seeing this. What is this? What is a verse that I can attach to this? What are you speaking to me? Well, Matthew 1:23 is, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. So every time I would see that, I began just declaring, oh, thank you, Lord. 1, 2, 3, okay, thank you that you're Emmanuel and you're with me. You're Emmanuel and you're with me. Another one is 2:22. I kept seeing 2:22 everywhere. I'm like, what is it? What is this? Okay, Lord, what is a verse that I can attach to this? Revelations 2:22. Oh, I better look it up. Sometimes I get it messed up. 22:2 or 2:22. It's a okay, yeah, it's the tree of life and the river. Revelation 22:2. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, 12 kinds of fruit, different fruits. I want to say sugokunai, that's Japanese, but that doesn't help you. That's amazing. It's wow. This one tree produces 12 kinds of fruit. Every month, a different fruit. Fruitful, very fruitful, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So every time I see 2:22, I declare, in my life, I will be fruitful. I will bear fruit in every season of my life, and I will bear different kinds of fruit. Whatever's happening, every season in my life, I am bearing fruit. And I am. It's happening. I'm making this declaration, but it's happening in my life. So I encourage you to do the same, to take these scriptures and make declarations. Use them to declare those things over your life. Even you haven't seen them yet, but you declare it. I'm not saying hopeful thinking or anything like that. Ask the Lord for a scripture or several scriptures and begin declaring it. It's important, right? He spoke the world into existence. And our words are powerful, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's speak life then. We're speaking the life of the word over our lives, over our families, right? So, the circumstances hadn't changed, but David believed he would see the goodness of the Lord while he was living. Someone once said, if it is not good, it's not the end. If it is not good, it is not the end. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So whatever it is right now in your life, if it's not good, it's not the end. Because he works all things for good. And then David's last thing in verse 14, right? It says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. He committed himself to waiting on the Lord. This word in Hebrew is kava, I think is how you say it. You probably know, Pastor Oz. It means with eager expectation. So I wait with eager expectation. So I was wondering, thinking about, well, what would be a great expression? What is eager expectation? What does it look like? And I was reminded of my friend's dogs. I dog sit for a friend, and she has two beagles, and they're totally cute, a male and a female. One is, the male is older, the female is a youngster, and their names are Benny and Mia. And at mealtime, they have a deck outside, and they have their separate houses, dog houses. But at mealtime, they have to sit at the back door. And they know if you've grabbed their dishes, they're like, wow, this is a happening thing. And so they can hear everything, like when you open the case for the fruit and you hear the clinkle, clinkle, clinkle of all the food in the dishes. And these dogs are such an expression of eager expectation. Because as the food is being prepared, they are literally shaking. They eat twice a day. They're not starving or anything. But they're shaking and they're going. And occasionally they're drooling, you know. That is eager expectation. Wait for the Lord. Eagerly expect the Lord. You don't have to drool. But eagerly expect the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Eagerly expect the Lord. In Lamentations, let's look at that. Lamentations, it's after Jeremiah. And it's Lamentations 3, 21 through 25. Yeah, that's right. Lamentations 3. I got to find it. 21 through 25. If you got it. So whatever version you have, let's read it together. Ready? Okay, let's go. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. That word wait again is kava, and it's that eager expectation. And I have another song for this, but I don't know if you would know this one, but it was a song in my old church in Virginia, and when I came into the church, it was about the time of the end of the Jesus movement and the scripture and songs, and I just know a lot of songs with scripture, and it goes like this. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will have hope in him. We have hope in him today because he is our portion. He is the one that we are eagerly waiting for. And he loves us with an everlasting love. He just totally loves us, no matter what. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us, right? He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Amen. He is our portion, and we do find our hope in him. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, you are so good. Thank you for your love. Your love that is higher than the heavens above. How great the measure of your love. We can't even understand it. Thank you that no matter what is happening in our lives, it's gonna work out for good because you are good and you promised all things work together for good. And we do love you and thank you for that promise today. All things work together for good. Thank you for your word. We pray that this week, as we go throughout the week, that we would wait in eager expectation to see you move in our daily lives. As we wait over your word, as we wait in prayer, as we wait in worship, as we wait when we go to work, we go to the store, as we wait in our heart, we set our spirit to wait upon you. Let us see you in a new way, and let us see you move through us in a new way, just like was prophesied. The new thing that you're doing, that each person in this congregation and online in the congregation, each person would see you move, would see you in a new way, and see you move in a new way, and we would yield to that new way, and we wouldn't hold on to the old ways, but indeed we would let go. And let you do the new thing and follow you and have great joy as we follow you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. We just bless you and we love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and grace upon our lives. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.